Hello, this is Jim Thomas welcoming you to the Message Share Ministry of the Sovereign Grace Baptist Church located in Muncie, Pennsdale, Pennsylvania. The message you are about to hear was preached in a worship service. After some congregational singing, our speaker is William P. Robbins, who is a pastor and elder.
Now then, will you enter with me into worship? So let's sing 456, Teach Me, O Lord, Thy Holy Way. We're talking about maturity, Christian maturity, and its number, 456.
Tune. It doesn't seem that we're going high enough on the notes there, friends. Let's start that first. Well, we'll start the second stanza. Now, you know the tune, I'm sure you do.
Guide me, O Savior, with thy hand, and so control my thoughts and needs, that I may tread the path which leads right over to the blessed land. Glory, O Savior, here to trace the sacred footsteps thou hast drawn, and meekly walking with my God through growing goodness, truth, and grace. Guard me, O Lord, that I may ne'er forsake the right or do the wrong. Against temptation make me strong, then round me strength I shall. Bless me in every task, O Lord, begun, continued, done for Thee. Fulfill Thy perfect work in me, and Thine abounding grace afford.
But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now, that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descendeth is the same also that ascended afar above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministries, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in a unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of Man, or Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, making increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who, being past feeling, have given themselves over to lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ. May God's blessing be upon not only the reading, but the expounding of this passage. Amen. Please be seated. I thought that we might sing 278 before we get into the Word of God. Another hymn that I believe, Jesus with thy church abide. We want the church to be a blessing to the Lord. 278. Yes, let's turn, please, to Ephesians chapter 4. I want us to have a word of prayer here in a few moments, but the subject at hand is the matter, are you spiritually immature? I'll give you a picture. If a baby comes around here, everybody's happy. We smile, we stand back, and some of us wish that we could just hold it, even men folk, if they're honest. And so I said, would you like to hold a baby? So, oh, indeed, hold a baby. It smiles and says, oh, this is wonderful. And then as it grows and it's a totter and then it walks around and goes goo-goo, we say, oh, wonderful, baby is doing fine. Now let's go on many years, a couple, three at least, and we go into a place, and it looks like a nursery. Yeah. And, oh, my word, what's going on here? Deformed babies, big heads, strange bodies, crying, and they've got age on them. See, oh man, I don't want to see anything like that. Bizarre looking children. Well, you say, what are they? Well, now they've got years on them. That's heart touching, but when you see gray hair on them, man, that's very, very sad. Let's pray. Here we are, Father, and it's by your goodness you've enabled us. We desire that we might come and sing hymns, read some of your precious word. We desire also that we might get something for our souls, that we be blessed and be encouraged and strengthened, and that we would, yes, Lord, have a peace of that which is found in our Lord Jesus Christ and the Spirit of God to operate upon us and help us. Help us to put away the things of the world, the earthly things that so take up most of our time, the plans for the week and whatever we might have in mind. Help us to center upon the fact that we're here to worship our Lord Jesus Christ and Spirit and in truth. We pray that we may examine ourselves, not the one next to me or the one in the pulpit or the one in the chair, so to speak, but that we might individually check ourselves this morning. See whether we can honestly see our situation. And then we ask for rectifying and strengthening and asking, Lord, that you would not only speak to us in the matter of where we are faulty, but that we might have help. We know help comes from knowing the Lord Jesus savingly and by the abiding presence of thy Spirit of God to teach us and to help us and to go beside us, our paraclete. Once again, look upon us because we have needs. We have not arrived. And our Father, sometimes we feel that we've been through there, been there, done that, and we don't need to even learn anything else. But Lord, teach us to be children in the sense of that be teachable and hungry. Not only the milk of the word, but the meat of the word. And so, Father, as we're all different, you know we're different. Different stages, chronologically as far as years, but also in maturity. So we pray your blessing upon us. And that the word would affect us all. In the name of the Lord Jesus, who loved us and gave his life for us, we pray. Amen. We live in a time where the psychologists are saying, you've got to go back to your little child. Infantilism, I guess it is. The little child in you, don't you understand that? Little child in you. Well, don't take them as being gospel truth about some of those things. But we've taken it seriously. We're acting like adults acting in, like young people, dressing like young people. They won us over. That's the way we're to act. We come to the Word of God, and he said, now listen, I have given you at least 4 or 5 official gifts, and they're here for the purpose of helping you if you take advantage of it. Well, like what? Ephesians 4. Well, there's 4 or 5 of them. Well, there's a little discussion as far as the Greek on this, but let's remind ourselves. We're not orphans, because verse 7 says that God has done this. To every one of those who know Christ as their Savior, yes, sir, contextually, is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. We're all different. I think that's marvelous. I don't have to be like you, and you don't have to be like me. I'm an individual and unique, and so are you. God made you. Nobody else is like you. And so if you have a little bit of the personality of saying I'm not, lack self-esteem, and say, well, I'm a nobody. And then there's some of you perhaps to say, I am a somebody. I have done some things. Well, now just be careful there. Because the Bible says I've given you some official gifts. Now you all have a gift and you're all different. The more I live, the more I see that. We're different. Oh, basically, we have 5 senses, and we use those 5 senses. I'm not saying that. We're not some kind of alien, but in thought. I was thinking about this a little. In the thought realm, we say, well, men and women think differently. And say, well, there's some truth to that. God has gratefully has made us different. But, you know, my experience with individuals is that I may be standing up here talking about some of these things and you say, I don't know what he's trying to say. Why? Well, you're wrapped a little differently. Some of you, let me use a computer for instance. This generation, you can sit down to a computer and they don't have to study it. Somebody says, you hit that button there, see that, yeah, and this, and that, yeah. And you want to work the computer, yeah, this, and this. Oh, I said, all right, okay, now you do that. And so they learn to do that. Then they do this, and they're good, young people are good. And they can sit down on a computer and say, what's the matter with you old guys? No big deal. What's the matter with you? The thing of it is, that's the way they're being trained. And some of us were trained a little different like that. And we're getting to a place where we just can't have a hard time remembering. Now, I was there, right, and I go there, right, and do this, and do this, and this. Yeah, you got it? I think so. An hour later, we sit down. Now, where do I go next? I think it's here. And even some would write a note down and say, it just doesn't come around. Some people are scientifically minded, then they see everything that you just push buttons. You don't have to do this, you just push buttons. If you push the buttons, well, you got it made. And the whole thing is just in the realm of science. Some of us in the realm of philosophy say, well, I don't know what you mean by that. Well, we just like certain areas of thinking. We are different. If you learn that, you'll love each other a little better. Say, I don't know what's the matter with that preacher. I don't know what's the matter with you. Well, we're different. And you're unique. If you're in Christ, Christ loves you, died for you. We are brothers. Why do this? I don't care what you do about that. I do this. I can plant potatoes. Well, so what? Some people can't plant potatoes. Some people can fix the car. Some can't. Just kind of accept each other. If you don't, you get to the place where you say, well, I don't understand people. I don't even bother trying to understand them. You come to church and you treat one another. There's a goal in this fourth chapter of Ephesians, he said, I have a goal for you if you're a Christian. It's not little independent people running around. I do my little thing. You do your little thing. No, no, unity. Building up as a body. Let me see. If I could take this hand off and put it on the table there. There's my hand. Oh, you're ridiculous. No, there's my hand. We have parts of the body. Hey, hand, what good are you lying on that table? Well, I'm a hand. Yeah. And in the church, there are people that can operate like that. Hey, well, I can do this. Listen, it's a body. I want my hand. I want the different parts. And the Lord Jesus said, I want it all together, a body of Christ, in unity, in love, and with discernment, with maturity, becoming more like our Savior. Not that you're out here running someplace, you do your thing, I do my thing, because I'm different. No, we're put together through Christ and His Spirit. Little Robin Hood's running around. Little Lone Ranger's running around in the church. Come on. We work together on this. Well, I know we can excuse ourselves. I just can't do a computer. I just can't do it. So I don't do anything about it. I do come to church, yes, and I give money. And I put up with the preacher. I love him too, maybe. But anyway, don't expect me to be part. What God is expecting, not the preacher. This is what the Lord is saying in verse 5. There's one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. Unity. Do you have to talk to us about unity? Oh, yeah. We Americans, we kind of do our own little thing. But we come to know the Lord. The Lord has saved us. He said, now listen. I want you to understand that I'm the head and you're the body. And I want the body to be working. When your body's not working, you'd say, hey, doc, I got some problems. Well, we need to go to our doctor, the great physician, and say, hey, doctor, got some problems in the church. We just aren't functioning right. We're just out there scattering around a little bit. No. So I want these official gifts. Who are they? Well, let's get at them a little bit here. So we get it contextually now in verse 11. Apostles. Well, they're gone. All right. He said, I did give apostles to build a church foundational-wise. The foundation's in it at least, isn't it? Yes, sir. All right, let's go on. Some prophets. Well, the prophets of God, they aren't in existence anymore or not. I'm not so sure about that. I looked at the word prophets, and we have a complete revelation, so we don't need people going around saying, God said to me, God said something. No, no, wait a minute. Does it check out with the Word of God? We have a complete revelation, and there are people who believe in present-day prophets. Now, there is something which I must admit to you as an elderly man and experienced, that God can, in His marvelous ways, may even draw you away from your little study note and be impressed upon you strongly to say something other than what you've already prepared and studied. Say, well, I don't want to go far from my notes. And if I have professorship in my life, I'm not going to go any further than what my notes say. I'll just read my notes. No, no, that's not preaching. Because I believe there's a possibility that that verse, prophets there, can have somewhat of a situation where it's not contrary to the Word of God, but the Lord puts upon a person's heart to say, there is this possibility, this particular need, and mention it. And the person will come along and say, you know, that was just the thing this morning that helped me. See, I don't understand that. Well, you don't have to understand everything. I'm not saying we add anything to the Word of God. It's just that the Lord may speak and have you say something. You say, well, I don't know why I say that. Well, just take it. It may be that God has laid it upon my heart and someone that's talking to you of these men. Now, let's get down to it. Now, how about these evangelists in verse 3? What are evangelists? Oh, these are people who have a big auditorium and a speaker system, and they're out there, and they're preaching to people, raising their hands and so forth. Whoa, 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 whoa. That's not what that word means. That word evangelist means church planters. They go out and they witness for Jesus Christ. They preach the gospel. God's given them a gift. Remember, we have different gifts. And there are people who have the gift of being an evangelist, and they can preach the gospel to such an extent that God uses it to the converting of souls. I believe that we make it too complex, even as Brother Spurgeon has put it, and there's a way of salvation, and tell salvation it's a matter of repentance and trust in Jesus Christ if you want to be saved. But an evangelist, given a gift, they can preach so that there's conviction. And you say, well, they learned that in their school. No, no, no. We're talking about gifts. Some people, I knew one guy, a man one time, I really was impressed with him. They called him dumb smart. Yeah, they said he's dumb smart. And I thought, what in the world does that mean? If there's a machine that's broken down, and somebody describes to him this and this and this, and he says, well, what you need to do is do this and this. Hey, we got books, don't you know, to read? He didn't have to turn to the books. I said, well, that's good. That's the way I am. Well, thank the Lord you're that way. Some of us have to turn to the books and see what the schismatics on the matter is. But isn't it strange? He said, well, all you need to do is this, this, and this, and this. But you've never done this. I don't need to. I can see what the problem is, and this is what you got to do. And the boss talks to him. He's the boss. He talked to his employees like that. This is what you got to do. Keep on walking. You say, well, that is amazing. I just told you we're different, aren't we? Unique. But back to the passage here about evangelists. God has given the gift. These are official gifts that God has given to the church that the body may be built up and unified and have discernment so there are not, as the Bible says here, tossed about by every wave. Like a boat on water that is being thrown all around. What else? Verse 11. And some pastors and teachers. Now there are those who say that's one office. Pastors that teach. Well, I know some pastors. I don't believe they can teach. Well, it says here pastor and teachers. It may be two offices or it may be one office. Teaching pastors. I think pastors ought to be able to teach, but I'm not going to argue with that. I'm not a Greek scholar. I looked at it and I studied it, and it may be two individuals or it may be one individual with the gift of teaching and preaching. Okay. I'm not going to argue, but say it's not fourfold here. It's fivefold. One, two, three, four, five. I'll take either one. I believe there is those who can teach, and there are those who can preach. Well, what do we need them for? I can read books, can't I? And I can also look at DVDs. No. No. Verse 12 says that these official gifts were given for the perfecting or the maturing of the saints, God's people. So for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a mature, a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. I think that's a strange passage. Why? Well, don't we hire preachers to do it? Do what? Well, the things of the church. He's supposed to do this. We have our own ideas. He's supposed to do this, he's supposed to visit this, he's supposed to do that, he's supposed to do this. That's what we pay him for. By the way, you don't pay me. I'm not salaried. And if the money won't come in, if you want to renege and not give it to me, I'll have to go do something else. That's the way God has worked in my life. We're different, don't you know? But the point of it is, that's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches a preacher's really job is what? Is to pray and study. Study? Yeah. Did he go to school? Like some dumb fellow said to me one time, if you know it, why do you have to study? Where are you from? I mean, how? Don't be that. That shows immaturity. This is a book. This is the inspired Word of God. This is God's Word. You think you can just think you can go 3 years or 4 years to college, 3 years to seminary, and you know all the answers? You don't know all the answers. Oh, good morning. I didn't see you, Sharon Jones. I just saw you, Adam. Sorry, I knew that too. I'm just glad to see you. Now, let's get back. it's amazing, dear friends, that we just have our ideas. Well, that's the way I think it should be. Oh, come on. Let's find out what God has to say, not your ideas or the preacher's ideas. Who made you the boss? Who made you the authority that you know all the answers? You say, well, I went to school and studied business. Fine. But we're not going to use the business methods in the church of God. We're going to follow God's way of business. It makes a big difference. We are not an incorporated church. Incorporation means that the government can say, hello, is this Sovereign Grace Baptist Church? Yes. Well, this is so-and-so. I'm with the Department of Taxes and so forth, at IRS, and we have a man in your area, and he wants to stop in and check your books out. And no thanks. No, you don't understand. You're incorporated. You have said that if you're going to give tax deductions and so forth for people in the church, we have a right to check out your books. Say, no, I don't think so. Oh, yeah. The contract goes both ways. And the government can tell you. Now, you understand with it being incorporated that if somebody, if we need a preacher or someone to play the organ, or and he's, let's say he's a little bit, you know, if you put it up as a job, you may have to hire him, or you'll have trouble with the law. You're incorporated. We're not an incorporated church. I believe that's what the Bible teaches. He's the head. Not down in Harrisburg or Washington, D.C. is the head of this church. It's Jesus Christ is the head of the church. You already know this, don't you? If you don't, you may be classified that you haven't matured. Well, you know, it has the idea here in this passage that these four official gifts, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, for the perfecting, for the edifying, the equipping. That's what pastors and these teachers are supposed to do. Evangelists. Oh no, evangelist goes all into all the world, and he is to give the gospel. He is to be connected with the body. And I believe that's locally. If he goes out from the church, he is responsible as to building up the body of Christ locally. Going out there? Now, I think this, and I probably ought to study the etymology of this, but you heard the word missionary? I really shouldn't be saying this, but I don't think you'll find that in the Bible, that word. Oh, yes, it is. Don't you believe in missionaries? Well, here again, I need to study this a little more. It's a word that's come by way of the Roman Catholics. Oh, no, not again. They come by way of Christmas. They come by Easter. And all these church calendar days, Ash Wednesday, and then Shrove Tuesday, and all these days come by way of the Roman Catholic Church. And now you're standing up there telling me that missions or missionary is one of their words. They get it, I believe, by using the word evangelist here. I don't think that we'll go into that at the moment, but you might want to check it out yourself. Evangelists are people who give the gospel of Jesus Christ, and they can do it in such a way that God uses it for the salvation of souls. They give forth the word of God, the Spirit of God takes the word of God, and people are saved. Now, he doesn't just say, goodbye, nice knowing you. He does, as Matthew 28, as we went together some time ago and studied, he makes it a point not just say, go to a church of your choice, which a lot of popular evangelists do. That's not biblical. That's not the Great Commission. That's not Matthew 28, 18 through 20. That's not it. But he takes time to teach them and corral them back into his church. If he's a member of this church, he wants to, it's the matter of growth. Oh, no, no, no. Now, just a moment here. You're going to say no on me. I want some scripture from your port. If his a gift has been given to the church, a church at Ephesus, a church at Sovereign Grace Baptist Church, God's given you a gift to speak to people about salvation, you give the gospel, you can't walk around like a real nice little guy, expect people to be saved. You got to talk about it, give some literature to, and pray. And if God blesses someone, say, hey, brother, yeah, God saved me. He did. And he said, you know, you talked to me about the Lord Jesus. Yes. And he said, I want to tell you something. Something happened to me. And I'll tell you, I believe what you said. And I've trusted Jesus Christ. He said, well, that's good. So now I need to disciple you. What's that mean? I have to teach you according to the Great Commission. I teach you. And I take you alongside, say, well, he's out there saving thousands of people. I don't think that you're going to have to look at that very carefully. I got excited when I heard the Haitians, 40,167 people were converted to Christ. I said, wow, that is, in one aspect, that just jumping. And I believe God can work in numbers. But why would you say 40,167? How do you know precisely? Do you know for sure that the person next to you is saved? Say, well, he's been to church. You're sure all the officers of the church are saved? Well, hey, wait a minute. God knows. But if a person said, I do love the Lord Jesus and I want to learn more, you teach him. You take some time. That's what Matthew 28 says. No, no, let the preacher do it. No, no, it doesn't say let the preacher do it. He'll help you. He'll teach you. He'll edify you. He'll build you up so you teach them and bring them in. Edify. It's like bones that are broken. There is the job of, the preacher's job is to put those bones together, spiritually speaking. And so is the teacher's. We'll bring them to the Word of God. Let them hear, worship together, absolutely. Teach them all things. Make sure they get baptized. Baptism is important. It's putting on a uniform. You know, I was thinking about this. When I was a little guy, my brother was in the Navy, and I wasn't very big. He gave me his white hat. He said, you take care of that, and this is the way you take it. Don't you get that dirty if you're going to wear it. I said, yes, sir. And I wore it to school and everything. I thought I was a little Navy man. I wasn't a Navy man. You think you're a real Christian. Are you real? Are you sitting behind the steering wheel of a car like I was when I was a little guy? I'd get behind Dad's car and get the steering wheel and I'd go, boo, 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 push a clutch in. Was I driving? No, I wasn't driving. It could be that you're just playing church. You see, we're brought into society that this you play at work and work is play. Now, wait a minute, you don't have that right. We play at work and work is play. Yeah. The big thing today is sports. I'm not against sports, but it's beyond the Lord. We'll have Super Bowl Sunday. We'll have to see a game. Preachers Sunday evenings, but I got to see that game. And I know all the points. I know who made the goals. I know the scores and all that. Hey, I wonder if that isn't putting something ahead of God. Thou shalt not. Yeah, but how about your hobby? The thing that you spend so much time about is more than reading the Word of God and praying and getting down to business and get some maturity, spiritually speaking, and be edified to do the work that God's called you to do, the gifts that He's given to you, and speak to Jesus about Jesus Christ. People get saved and bring them up. Add them into the church. Whew. What's so hard about that? I can't do that. That's why we have preachers. See that? That isn't the way I was taught. You better find out what is taught, what God says about it, instead of taking your idea, and your idea is right, and the preacher's wrong on this. Argue down with the Lord. This self-centeredness, it certainly isn't a complete expression of the Lord Jesus. I'm self-centered. It's all me and my. I'm self-centered. I don't know about you. I have my own problems. If I take care of my own problems, mind my own business. See, you've been listening to old Ann Landers rather than the Word of God. You think you got it right. Brethren, please, I say it with kindness. You say you don't act like you're kind. Because if I were playing a game here, would you expect me to stay here? Say, Robbins, here comes the ball. What? The ball! The ball! Oh, bong. You got to get into it. Spiritually, we can't be just lackadaisical. We got to say, God, you've said this. This is your very word. This is the breath of God. God says, this is what I expect. This is to a church at Ephesus. He said, this is the way it's supposed to be. All right. When you're a baby, it's so cute when you laugh and smile. And boy, that's just wonderful. But the next moment or so, the next minute, the baby's screaming. Yeah! Screaming. A lady went to church down country, visiting a church, and she had three little children. Three, yeah. And she sat down for the service. And a man came over and he said, excuse me, are these your children? She said, yes. He said, keep them in order. That's a visitor. Keep them in order. Do you have a room I can go with a little closed circuit where I can go and take the babies? If they get the babies one moment or having fun, next moment they're screaming. No, didn't have a room as such. Oh. But fortunately, a lady, this is great, ladies, a lady saw the situation, and she came and she said, hey, I wonder if you mind if I would play with your children. I'll take them to another room and we'll play some together. You say, well, that sounds silly. These kids are active. They're not Amish children that can sit for 3 hours. Some of you older ladies... 3 hours with no back, a bench with no backs, and sit there for 3 hours. Little children. How do they ever learn to do that? Well, you figure it out. But children today can't do that. Not for the most part. You can try. It's not the children's fault. I'm trying to say to you is this. If you're a baby, one moment you're happy, next moment you're down, 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 and next moment you're crying, you're screaming, you're saying, why? I said, well, I thought the preacher was supposed to teach you, build you up, and kind of put things together, and the teachers, so that when you can face these matters of life, that you have something to back, the Word of God to back you up, and the help of the Spirit of God. Well, if we're always going to be dependent on others, I depend upon the preacher. I depend upon the deacon. I depend on everybody else. I'm a nobody. And yet you may be a businessman and doing right well, or a good factory worker. That won't work. It won't work. Don't think it'll work. God's not going to pass you. He's not going to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant, with that kind of immaturity. We better listen to the Word of God, preachers included. He says, I want unity for the perfecting. Verse 13, he said, I expect unity. I expect the preachers and the teachers to do their job. I expect you to do your job and desire that they might be unity and not just selfish. And doing your thing, but it's togetherness. The expression, in union there is strength. Well, that's kind of the idea, togetherness. For what? Till we all come to unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect or mature person, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. I tell you, friends, we need to grow up. My mother used to say to me when I would kind of get on my high horse about something, she said, son, you need to grow up. You never hear that? Somebody say to you, you need to grow up. And if I have gray hair and somebody says, you know, preacher, you need to grow up, I would feel insulted. But it's truth. It's truth. How about you? Will you examine your own heart, preacher? I will. How about you? And it says not only to have unity, but as maturity, be like the Lord Jesus. How can I be more like the Lord Jesus Christ? Study the Word. I have a letter from a prisoner over here in Muncie, and I didn't read it because I want to do some praying about it, but she's on a third time of reading the Bible. I said, well, they got time to do it. I got busy. I got work to do. Yeah, I know how busy we are. We are busy. This is the third time she's gone through the Bible, reading the Bible. How many times have you read the Bible? And yet we wonder why we don't have some growth. But it also has the idea here of verse 14 that we wouldn't be taken in as far as having some discernment, and it's easy to kind of take in some false teachings. What do you mean, verse 14? That we henceforth be no more children. Oh, here we go again, children. Tossed to and fro and carried about, this is like a boat on the water, and carried about with every wind of doctrine or teaching by the sleight of men, cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. What's it saying? It says, listen, you better face the music. There's all kinds of deceivers out there. Oh, they give the word of God. I heard them preach. Yeah, I have too. In my visitation, I have people said, I listen to a certain man on TV. I say, you do? Yeah, he uses the Bible. No discernment of what they really believe. And the Bible says, maturity should help you so that you're not like a little child being tossed about in a little boat on the lake. So adults can be that way. Every little wind of some kind of teaching come down the pike and say, oh, wow, I never heard that. I think that's terrific. Check it out. Check it out. Because there's con folk out there, religiously speaking. You ever hear con, what a con man is? Look at verse 14. You say, I don't know if that's true. Well, then tell God he doesn't know what he's talking about. Please don't tell me. But there's men out there, and they have cunning, this scheming craftiness. What is that little thing that they do? If you've been in a city, they have a little table there, and they have these shells with peas in it. I've seen it. You did, too. And they sucker you in. And you're close enough to say, now, which one has the pea in it or a little seed in it? Say, that one? Ha! Sure enough. Hey, you're good. Let's do it again. And do it so that you watch. You say, now which one? That one? Sure enough, you are good. Now they sucked you in. Now I'll tell you what, we might as well make this profitable. Charge for it. If you can do that again, I'll give you a dollar or whatever. If not, you give me the dollar. You want to do that? $5? You're pretty good at it, you know. You've been around. Okay. Snookered in. You lose. You lose by scheming craftiness, religiously speaking. Now, I don't enjoy telling you that, but some people don't even believe that. It's so naive and say, well, they got the Bible, they got a church, and it's all right. We got a church, they got a church. It's no difference. something's wrong here. They lie in wait to deceive. There's a person. He's just been trained by Caesar in the government schools, and I know how to reach him. I'll just go on his patriotism, and I'll nail him on patriotism. I'll catch him, and I'll get him over, because he's been taught that way. She's been taught that way. They lie in wait to deceive. The lack of discernment. What is discernment? Well, to see through things. You say, well, God gives us a gift. Yeah, he can give you a gift of discernment. But it's basically that we study the Word of God. So that we know the Word of God when somebody says something, said, whoa, no, wait a minute. I think I remember reading somewhere in the Bible that, hey, that's great. That's good. I read somewhere in the Bible that they did this and that. Now, that's a good sign of getting mature. I know what God says about that. You can't snooker me in that one. Ooh, that's nice. You say, well, you mean just lay people, and I don't like the word lay people, but people that are not to Bible school, seminary, college, can have discernment. There's some of your best discernment of people that haven't been, what should I say? You go to college, you got to read all kinds of books. So, well, that's fine. Is it really fine? Communist books, socialistic books, math, Yale University, it's socialism, humanism. A college degree there. And they have been taught these things. You know what? These things that you take in, sometimes they're in your crawl. And it'll mess you up spiritually, and you will be immature. Just because you read everything down the pike, and now it's messed your mind up. Don't read everything that's coming down the pike. I think sometimes we have a good library, but there's some things here I'd perhaps second look at, we might have to even take out. But for instance, if only God's people would just read Pilgrim's Progress again with the Word of God, or listen to it. We have it on the website. You don't have to pay for it. You got a computer, just hit our website, localchurchpa.com, and you can get the Pilgrim's Progress, and you can listen to it at your leisure and shut off and say, I'm busy, I gotta go make supper now, and come back and listen later. Pilgrim's Progress. Just giving them everything and anything to read, to think that they're educated. They got a liberal education, which means really liberal or modernistic. Like a man said to me, he said, well, I don't know about you, but I'm not interested in talking about anything. I was talking about eschatology to him. He said, I'm not interested in knowing any more about things to come. He said, I give what I have been taught. What? What I've been taught in my school, that's what I give. Let's talk about another matter. How's it with the matter of lying? Lying. Telling lies. Well, now that's, it says being honest here, being truthful in verse 15, but are Christians all truthful? Well, the statistics are that kind of, and you say, well, where do you get your statistics? And say, that's always worthy of considering. They take polls. The statistics I have about lying here is 91% of people lie regularly. How many? 91%. Woo-ee. Well, I think that's high. No, you better not. David said, in my haste, I said, all men are liars. Someone said, you're not in haste. That's the way it is. And the Christian says, put away lying. How's your maturity on the matter of telling the truth? Verse 15, speak the truth. Of the population believe that doctors lie. No doctors walk on water. They don't lie. I know. 43% of the poll is taken said that lawyers lie. And as far as Christians, they say, One out of three believe that you need to live godly. The rest of they don't really believe you need to live godly in this day. We don't want to be antinomian, you know, or we don't want to... No. It says, without godliness, no man shall see the Lord. And yet one out of every three Christians said, I don't see the need for that. What does the Word of God say about it? It says we're to live together. We're to serve in unity. People who are professional, for instance, musicians and sports. Now here you go. You're going to talk about people who are in sports like Olympics. It's amazing. Even those who are participating in Olympics, they were out there practicing. Why do you have to practice? If you know it, you know it. Silly. You don't know what you're talking about. Some of them practice as high as 8 hours a day and they're professionals. Why do you practice like that? He said, well, the point of it is to make progress. I mean, I won't stand here and tell you. I see people flipping in the air and turning this and so forth, or the skis and so forth, and then skating. Woo-wee, how in the world? I couldn't even begin to stand out there. You say, well, they learned it and they practiced it. And the Word of God says that we are to be reading the Word of God, and we are to grow in the knowledge, the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus. It is something you just don't say, well, I graduated from college, you don't need to do this anymore. No, I was baptized, I made a profession of faith. You know, I just want to say this quickly. This is introductory, by the way, and I want to close down. But if I'd say to you, and I sent it some time ago, I mentioned this to you, that there are people who are practical atheists. Now that doesn't make sense. Practical atheists. In the church? Yeah. If I'd say Christian atheist, you'd say, man, that's way out. Here's what I want to warn you. I said deformed babies. They can have a big head and be smart as could be. Some of them may even be super smart, super intelligent. Big head. There are people who say they're Christians. I'm glad to hear that. I know the Lord. Really glad to hear that. And I trusted Jesus as my Savior. Really glad. And I don't believe I'm going to go to hell. Oh, wow. That's the kind of Christian we like to hear. But no walk. Want to read the Confession of Faith? Turn to the Confession. I'll give you the Confession of Faith. I'll quote it to you. You want to know about the Lord's Prayer? I'll give you the Lord's Prayer. You want to know about predestination? I'll talk to you about predestination. Hey, well, you're really smart. But no practical application. Don't read the Bible as such. Don't fathers. They're lone rangers. No practical Christianity. God says this. Hey, I took him as my Savior, and I was baptized, and I go to church. What's more? What more do you want? I give some money. What do you want? He says, I want godliness. I want a character that's Christ-like. I want a character, he says, that has unified. I want a character that has discernment. I want a character that's mature. I don't want baby Christians running around town. Is that what you want, Lord? Yes. Are you trying to tell me there's such a thing as a sub-Christian? Well, I don't know if I want to use that term, but a person that has all the answers and can be smart about it because they got an IQ and it can talk intelligently. I talked to a man on the phone. He's very intelligent. Has no time for the church, but very intelligent. Knows the Bible, reads the Bible, talks about confessions. Am I exaggerating? Not at all. Probably minimizing. Know all these things, but no practical application. Don't even go to church. Independent little bodies running around. Little Christians, so to speak. Little babies. You see, it's the will of God that we want. I don't want Robbins' will, please. I want the will of God. I want God to be glorified. I want to enjoy Him. I want to have joy in my life. I want to have the blessing of God in my life. I don't want my life. I want Christ-likeness. That's what Paul said. To be more like Jesus. And the Bible says about love there. Right there it is about love. I like that. Verse 15. Speaking the truth in love. I want to be more like Christ. You know, I'm grateful that my Lord Jesus worked in a carpenter shop. Oh, you're silly. No, I'm not. I know. I'm glad he was a great shepherd, too. Because when we do some of these mundane things, they can drag you way, way down. Don't tell me there wasn't some people who came back to his stepfather's house and say, "Hey, Joseph, yeah, that door you made me isn't right." Huh? No, that door is not right. And you guys, I gave you the specifications and you didn't make that door right. The Lord Jesus hears all that. He's been through there, been there, done that. And I'm glad he understands what we have to go through, aren't you? You're glad he was human? God in the flesh? That's the kind of God the Bible speaks about. He knows about this matter of lack of maturity. He knows that. He said, you need to do something about it. You need to do something about it. I knew a man. He had a master's degree in education. And this is a soul. But he was a book man. He couldn't teach unless he had a book. Go practically speaking, you'd laugh at him. If a light go on his car, a warning light, he'd take his hat off and put it over the light so he wouldn't see the light. Just without a book, he was... Well, there isn't a sense that I'm not much good without this book. Hide it in your heart. Yes, amen. This is important. But if you have just this book in your head and you don't have practical application, you're just as bad as a smart man with a master's degree or a doctor's degree, and he knows he's got a head full of knowledge, but he can't even know how to do anything. And there are people like that. Are you a little bit like that? When it comes to spiritual things. You see, the Bible says there are lambs and there are sheep. Lamb Christians? Yeah. Feed my lambs. Yes, Lord. Well, do you mean little, cutty little things? He said, yeah. Nice little, yeah. We're talking people. We're talking people that are like little lambs. And they need to be fed. Do it. That in a sense, really. I shouldn't get on that. This generation doesn't believe you ought to have little lambs. Because if you want to live, you got to live for yourself. Selfishness. Don't have kids. No. Sad. You ought to see what the District of Columbia has given out to the women as of yesterday. You look it up if you want to find it. I'm going to tell you what it is. 500,000 of these things for women. No lamb. We know any little lambs. But there are Christians that are lambs. But there are Christians that are also sheep. And there are Christians out there that are like, I'm telling you, rams. We had them down in the barnyard. Ask the children about the rams. Sheep, rams. They're nasty. And look for an opportunity to nail you when you weren't looking. And God says there's lambs and there's sheep. What are you? If you're a lamb all these years, you got all these years, you said, it's, how long's it been? You know Christ? Oh, it's been 30, 40. And you're still a lamb. You ought to be a sheep, a productive sheep, like the Bible talks about, and not some old ram, nasty. Oh, but he also says there's milk. There are milk Christians. And hey, there's a place for that. Yeah, there's a place for that. My mother, and I'll tell you this very quickly, when I'd get sick and so forth, I'd say, oh boy, I feel badly, but I'm a little hungry. She said, well, get yourself some, make yourself some toast and put it in milk. And if you want to check it out health-wise, that's nutritional, and it did help. I was sick the other day, and I had some toast, buttered toast in milk, hot milk. What am I telling you? Some people can only handle milk of the Word of God. Do you know that, preacher? Yeah, but I don't understand why they're 20 years old, 20 in the Lord, and they still have to have milk. I would think that they ought to be in a realm where they're meat Christians, where they eat stronger stuff, and that they would teach others. They go out there and talk about the Lord Jesus, not talk about how they make money, how they talk about the sports, talk about everything under the sun. They don't talk about Jesus. Something's wrong. Spiritual immaturity. Please, don't just get it in your head so you can make an A in your test. Please. It's good that you're smart. Get that all you can. But oh, let's have something in the heart. Let's have some application of it. Win folk to the Lord Jesus by talking about the Lord Jesus. And then do what you can to teach them, get them baptized, and be a mentor and disciple them and get them into under the preaching of the Word of God. Have you done that? That's what God expects. Let's stand for prayer. Our Father, we realize that you have created each one of us, and we are unique, and we're different. But as we judge ourselves by the basis of your precious word, we're finding that we can find ourselves in the area of immaturity or, yes, maturity. And we want to be more like the Lord Jesus. We want the unifying of the local church. We want to not only unifying, we want maturing. And we want also that we might have discernment and that we will not be taken in by any little wind of doctrine that comes down the pike or on the TV or radio or a booklet that we read, that we have discernment and that we will be obedient children and mature in the sense that we see that you've given us these official gifts in there to edify us and to strengthen us so that we can go and do the job that you called us to do. And the will of God be done. Now, our Father, it may be that there are those here this morning that know not Jesus Christ savingly, and may they see they need to turn from their sins and trust the Lord Jesus, the work he did at Calvary, and receive forgiveness of sin and a new life, a new birth. Bless your people. Encourage them. Those who are discouraged this morning, may they see, check it out in the Word, and help us to seek the right paths. We pray for your blessings. In the name of our Lord Jesus, who loved us and gave his life for us. Amen. And well, Bob, you may be seated. And Bob, if you want to play a postlude, maybe we can think about some of these things before we go home.
Thank you for listening to this recording from the Sovereign Grace Baptist Church of Muncie, Pennsdale, Pennsylvania. We trust that it will have a lasting and eternal blessing to you. We would encourage you to visit us at 325 Yetter Road, Muncie, Pennsdale, Pennsylvania, or by way of our website at www.localchurchpa.com. That's www.localchurchpa.com. For further information, please call us at 570-546-6859 or email us at email@localchurchpa.com.